members of the team with this form to please move to the front, just so we can see the screen, because it might be a little difficult to see from that.
Right, get it?
Okay, we might make a start. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, today we're going to be looking at some practical ways of how to raise children in a different culture. Now, I'm going to start by saying that it's not easy to raise children in any culture, okay? Whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Australia, whether it's wherever else in the world, it's never easy to raise children. But we have one very, very important tool. We have one big weapon in our arsenal that helps us to raise our children. And that weapon or that tool is our Christianity. It's our belief and our strength in the Bible, in what the Bible teaches us, in our Lord Jesus, in the saints, and in this church. So, we're going to look at a focus verse. Okay? So, let's read this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So, it's a very clear message to us. Children are our blessing. We have a gift from God that we need to cherish, that we need to nurture, that we need to raise. We need to do everything possible. We need to do our best work to raise these children because it is a blessing, a gift from God. So, before I get into the children, what I want to start with is to look at our own identity. I want some definition about who we actually are, because if we don't understand who we are, we can't impart that onto our children. So, if you were going to define yourself, what would it be? I need some feedback from you. If you were going to define yourself, who are you? What is the first thing that defines you? Coptic Christian. Perfect answer. So, number one in our life, before our nationality, before our name, before who our parents were, before our job, before anything else, we are Coptic Orthodox Christians. Now, identity for everybody is formulated from a number of things, okay? Now, I'm not sure if you can see that graph, but I'll go through them. It's formulated from your choices, from your values, from your beliefs, from your appearance, from your ethnicity, so whether you're Egyptian, Australian, or whatever, from your habits, your work or your hobbies, your family or your friends, and your interests. And lastly, your objects and possessions. So that's for the world, okay, including us. So including us, because it says here, it formulates from our values and our beliefs. Now, as this gentleman quite rightly said, our values and our beliefs are Coptic Orthodox Christians. So our identity, number one, Coptic Orthodox Christian, a son or daughter of the Lord. After that, we are Australian of Egyptian heritage or origin. After that, we are the sons or daughters of, insert your parents' name there. And then following that, your occupation, your education, and all those other things that we talked about. So that's what formulates who we are. Now, you may very well ask, why did we say Australian before Egyptian? Why not Egyptian first? A lot of us were born in Egypt, okay, including myself. Why did I put Australian before Egyptian? Number of reasons. That if you dwell in the past, if you dwell in where I was or what I did or what my education was or what my position was, you can never ever look to the future. We're here now, we need to look to the future, we need to focus on what the Lord has given us and why He's placed us here. If you focus on the future, resentment can creep into your life. Now, everybody knows one person, or at least one person, who said, oh, I was this in Egypt, and now I can't find a job here. I was that. This was my position. This is where I came from. This is the possessions we had, the wealth we accumulated. And I don't have that in Australia. That sort of person has resentment that's crept into his life or her life, and they cannot possibly look to the future. If resentment creeps into your life, then thanking the Lord for the blessings that He's given you will immediately cease. You're immediately thinking, why, Lord, did you give me this? Why, Lord, have you placed me in this position? So the thankfulness has gone out. And lastly, if all of these happen, one very important thing is going to occur. It's going to affect your family life, and most importantly, it will affect your children. So we'll just read this verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So everything that we do is His will. Okay, question. Is Western culture against our Christianity? What do you think? Is Western culture against our Christianity? Okay, I see some people thinking maybe yes, maybe no. Well, in some elements, of course it is. There's no doubt about it. No doubt that Western culture goes against Christianity. Not in everything. In some instances. And we'll go through some of those instances. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if you know, I'm involved in Sunday school. Now, I'm going to make some very, maybe startling revelations to you today. A lot of the children in Sunday school, from a very young age, have boyfriends and girlfriends. I would be lying to you if I stood in front of you and said every child in Sunday school here is an angel and they don't get involved in any of the things we're talking about. That would be wrong of me. Why? Because as parents, we need to be aware. We need to have our eyes open, and we need to see what our children are doing. And later on, we will look at practical ways of doing that. So, boyfriend, girlfriend. Western culture says absolutely, no problem. Do we accept it? No, we don't. Homosexuality. Very recently, the US Senate, everybody knows what happened there, and the Australian Parliament is now saying it's not a matter of if, but when homosexual marriage will be accepted. All right? It is accepted in our culture. Is it accepted in our church? Is it accepted in what we believe? Absolutely not. Divorce. Now, I have seen firsthand the impact of separated families on the kids in Sunday school. And those kids are affected by family issues. Okay? Now, does the world tell us that's okay? Absolutely. What's the statistics now? 1 in 3 marriages end in divorce within 10 years? Is that accepted in our culture? Absolutely not. Freedom of religion. That's a wedge that's being driven into Christianity that is separating Christianity. People out in the world will say, so what if I believe in Buddha or Islam or whatever? I'm free to believe in whoever I want. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear about who we should worship. Okay, let's look at some practical ways to influence our children, to raise our children. Who's heard of Stephen Covey? Stephen Covey is an author who wrote a series of books, but one of them in particular, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of those habits of highly effective people, which I hope everybody here is to first seek to understand before being understood. So understand what the person in front of you is saying before imparting what you want to say on them. Now, how many parents, their first reaction is la'a, straight away. The first reaction is no. Well, no, why? Why is no? If I don't understand my child and understand what the child is asking, okay, I'm not communicating with that child effectively. I grew up and certain things were acceptable to me. Those things are not acceptable to my children. generations change. What if my parents said to me, la'a, that was it. But I can't do that with my children now. And my children most certainly would not be able to do that with their children in the future. So generations do change. And I was just talking to a lady outside about how it seems like kids these days are pre-programmed with a certain knowledge that we certainly didn't have. And it is very true. So firstly, listen to your children. As this little guy says up here, listen to me. Our children are crying out for us to listen to them. A lot of the time we just don't have time, or we're afraid of the unknown, so our reaction is always negative. So the first thing is to understand what they're saying first before talking to them. Secondly, be cautious but do not be afraid of the unknown. Now I said be cautious. We have to be cautious. Something that we don't understand, we have to investigate. We have to look into. If my child comes to me and says, Dad, there's a school disco next week. Can I go? Well, okay. On the surface, it sounds like it's very innocent. A bunch of year 6 or year 7 kids going to a disco. But do I have a reason to be cautious? Of course. I need to investigate a bit further. I haven't said no, but I need to investigate. And I'm only using that as an example. I need to investigate. I need to see what's happening, who's there, what sort of music is being played. Is there really going to be dancing? What sort of dancing? Who's supervising? I need to gain that knowledge and understanding. And again, I emphasize that I'm only using the disco thing as an example. This goes for everything. I need to investigate what's happening. I need to gain that knowledge before I give an opinion. Okay? It's definitely natural. It's in every one of us to be afraid of the unknown. But I'm saying be cautious of that unknown, not afraid. Know what your children are interested in. How many people actually know their children's hobbies? How many people take the time to nurture and encourage their children in their hobbies? I know everyone here has busy work schedules, busy life schedules. I call myself a taxi driver on Saturday mornings because I'm literally bouncing around from one area to the other. But what am I doing in doing that? I'm nurturing my children in their hobbies. I'm giving them an opportunity to express what they're good at and to grow in that. So we do need to help them develop. Set your priorities correctly. Everyone is busy at work. Everybody needs to provide for their family. There's no doubt that we have certain priorities that are a must. But what are your priorities? Have you actually sat down and thought, what I need to do to raise these children? Are priorities your work, your position, your possessions? Or are your priorities your Lord and your family? Or does Lord and family come well down the list? And again, I'll come to a verse from the Gospel of St. Luke. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you seek possessions, that's where your heart will be. If you seek the Lord, that's where your heart will be. Next point. Know your children's friends. Do any of us take the time to know our children's friends and to advise our children about what they should be looking for? What I'm hoping to occur is our children make the right decision later on without having our input. Why? Because we've trained them in the right way to think. So at a very young age, let's say a child in high school, he comes to you and says, I want to go over to my friend Wayne's house. Okay, well, who is Wayne? Where does Wayne live? Who's Wayne's parents? What do Wayne's parents believe? Are their beliefs in line with my beliefs? Is Wayne going to influence my child in a way that is positive or is negative? I need to know these people. I need to know their families and I need to know their children. Now, you'll notice that a lot of the things we're talking about actually require effort from us as parents. We have to be willing to put in that effort. Without effort, you don't get results. This point is very important. And many of us, and I've heard it a lot, they say to us, I want my son to be my best friend. That's well and good. That's fantastic. But guess what? Before he's your best friend, you are his parent. And there are occasions in your son or daughter's life where you need to be firm. You need to be a parent before you need to be a friend. If we err too much on the friendship side, several things can happen. You start not to influence your child, he starts to influence you. Okay? On occasions, there is a need and a reason to be firm. So don't be afraid to be firm when it requires. Change as a parent as your child grows. Now, Abuna Dawood Lamy, and I encourage everybody to leave here, go to the bookshop and get a series of talks from Abuna Dawood Lamy. And it's specifically about how to raise your children, whether it's in a different culture, how to deal with teenagers, how to deal with difficult questions from your children. There is a series of talks from him that are absolutely amazing and spectacular. You really need to go out and listen to them. But one of the things he does mention is treating a child appropriate to their age. I'm not going to treat a 7-year-old the way I treat a 14-year-old. Okay, and vice versa. I'm not going to treat a 14-year-old the same way I treat a 7-year-old. There's a point in time where physical punishment, and I'm not saying that physical punishment is the way, there's a point in time where it's actually quite detrimental to a child to lay your hand on them. Very detrimental. So where is that point in their life? Where is their maturity level? Every parent knows their kids, and every parent understands their kids. So please, focus your mind on the age of the child and give them what they need emotionally and psychologically according to their age. Be a positive role model. And if you can see that picture there, if you can't, it's a lady screaming at her children and she's telling them, don't yell at me, I'm the only one who's allowed to yell. How many parents do that? All right, I'm guilty of it. Don't yell at me, I'm the only one who's allowed to yell. Well, if I'm not a positive role model, I can't expect my children to learn from me. They learn from every single one of us. Every word that comes from our mouth, they sponge it in. They store it, and unfortunately it comes out at the most inappropriate times. Be moderate in your actions. What I mean by that is children need stability. Children need to see a status that's calm. Not too high, not too low, not too aggressive, not too passive. A calm and emotional person. So, if the slightest thing annoys me, if the slightest thing will aggravate me, well, guess what? The point before means that same thinking is going to be imparted on my children. The way that I act is going to be mirrored in the way that my children act. Absolutely. So be a calm-natured person. How do we do that? How do we become calm in nature? A lot of us, it's not natural for us. A lot of us will say that I'm a very fiery person. Okay, that's fine. But what gives us stability in our life? We're here. We're in it. This church, our Lord, our Bible, gives us stability. It's our role model. It's our book of how to live. Very big one. Again, in Sunday school, we see this a lot. Don't use technology as a babysitter. If you can see that picture, there's a lady relaxing on the couch, talking on the phone, and the girl is on her laptop. She can be looking at anything. She has no idea. The mother has no idea what she's looking at. It's so easy to say, go and watch TV. Here's a video. Here's the iPad. Play on the phone. In order to use that time for recreational purposes for yourself. That is absolutely wrong. We see this in Sunday school where children have computers in their bedrooms. under the impression, parents' impression, that they're doing homework. Homework may be a part of it, but let me tell you, it's not the only part of it. If you guys think that you're good at computers, well, your kids are better. If you guys think that you can look up the history and find out what they've been looking at, let me tell you, they're better. They know how to delete it before you look at it. Be very, very, very careful of computers in bedrooms. Be very careful of turning a blind eye to the technology. Now, I'm not sure if any of you know, but there's a new branch in psychiatry. So doctors have created a branch of psychiatry specifically targeting technology addiction. This is only just new. Where is it going to go in 5 or 10 years' time when our kids are teenagers or, you know, at uni? These people who seek these doctors have been addicted to technology to the point where their life has been affected. Their sleep is affected. Their eating habits are affected. Their work is definitely affected. And people have died from this. They have died from technology addiction. I'm not saying that we're there, but I'm saying keep an eye on your kids in order to not get there. There's no point solving the problem once it's occurred. So much better not to have the problem occur in the first place. Now, I've put this point last, and it's last because, in my opinion, it is the most important. Pray and read the Bible as a family. The blessings that your home will gain in reading the Bible as a family and praying the Agbaya as a family is absolutely enormous. Has anybody tried it? Has anybody tried praying as a family and you see the peace that descends upon your household just from that very simple action, praying together? Now, earlier on we talked about being a positive role model for your family. If my kids don't see me pray, will they pray? No. If my kids don't see me reading the Bible, will they read the Bible? No. If my kids don't see me going to confession, will they go to confession? No. And the list will go on. If my kids don't see me getting up early, making a point of going to church on a Sunday morning or whatever morning, and having communion, being at church at the right time, will my kids do that as they grow? Absolutely not. So, to sum up, what's this all about? Okay, sorry, one more slide. Now, again, you probably can't see this slide, but we were talking about priorities in your life. And I'm just going to read this to you because I'm sure a lot of you can't see it. But there's 4 points here about priorities. We'll start with a verse from Colossians. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So number one, when God is the center of our life, we live to please Him. When we please God, we want Him to influence each area in our life. When God influences each area in our life, He bears fruit through our good works. When God comes through in a special way, we get to know God in a new manner. Once we get to know God in a new manner, go back to point number one. And we keep going. As we progress through this, well, guess what? Our spiritual lives will increase as well. Once our spiritual lives increase, well, guess what? So will our kids. So it's a cycle in our life. So what do we gain from all this? We gain one very important thing. We gain the understanding that, as I said before, kids are not easy to raise. But the effort has to come from us. If we as parents don't put in effort to raise our children, then they're not going to be successful children. If us as parents, we're not aware of our children's what our children are doing, well, we know the consequences, and we talked about the consequences of that. So my final point to you is, as parents, we definitely need to be aware and we need to put in the hard work. We need to be in this church. We need to be children of God. We need to focus on our children and we need to understand them. Glory be to God forever. Oh, any questions? Sorry, I'm... No? Thank you.
Just before we pray, we want to tell you that we have these lectures every 2 weeks, pretty much on a regular basis, and there are different topics. So we tend to send on the email database of the church what the next topics will be and who the speaker is. So please join us. It's usually around 10:45 to 11 till about 11:30. We can stand up.
One other thing, sorry.
Yeah.
If anybody.